Okay, everyone. My name is Molly Marin. I am the webinar coordinator for the New York State RTI Technical Assistance Center. I have just a few reminders before we get started today. All upcoming professional development offerings are available on our webpage, nysrti.org, and we have a new webinar strand starting next week. We hope you'll check that out. A copy of today's PowerPoint, as well as some of the video links, are available on our webpage under Webinars and then under today's webinar title. During today's presentation, please use the chat box for any questions or comments that you may have. And at the end of today's presentation, we'll post a link to a brief evaluation. If you could please take a few minutes to complete that, we very much appreciate that feedback. And we are very pleased to have back with us again for the third and final webinar in our Dialogic strand. Dr. Sharon Palsha is with us today to present the last one in the Dialogic reading as a Tier 1 intervention in a pre-K RTI model. Today's topic is Dialogic reading following up. Dr. Palsha is a clinical associate professor and the coordinator of child development and family studies program at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. She has 38 years experience working with children and families. She spent 8 years as a classroom teacher before attending graduate school. She earned her doctorate in education from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill with a concentration in early childhood and early childhood special education. Currently, she is a clinical associate professor at UNC, where she has worked for 13 years preparing undergraduate students as early childhood educators who will teach young children ages birth to five. Her early childhood students have been using Dialogic reading successfully for many years during their student teaching and then in their own classrooms. Before taking the job as a professor, Dr. Palsha spent 15 years as a researcher at the Frank Porter Graham Child Development Institute. She continues to maintain affiliation with Frank Porter Graham Child Development Institute as an FPG fellow. She played an instrumental role in developing the Dialogic Reading Module with the FPG Connect project and is very excited to share her knowledge through our webinar strand on Dialogic Reading. And at this time, I would like to welcome back Dr. Sharon Palsha.
Thank you again, Molly, and good afternoon, and welcome to all of you who are participating in today's webinar. And I agree, it's great to see so many familiar names. Again, I wish I could be there with you in person, but thank you for being such a fabulous group of participants. I am coming to you again from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and we had our first what we would call a big snow of the winter last Friday, which closed schools in our area for 3 days. We had about 3 to 4 inches. We don't have equipment to move anything, so the snow brings this lovely peacefulness to our world as we wait for the sun and the rising temperatures to melt everything away. So, quick recap for those who are joining us for the first time. Week one is when I shared the research on the benefits of Dialogic reading and really laid the foundation of how to do a Dialogic reading with peer and crowd strategies. So if you are new to Dialogic reading, I suggest that you please view that webinar for the foundational practices. Last week, I shared some additional strategies to use when doing Dialogic reading, and many of you shared your experiences with giving it a try. And overall, I think our poll that we took showed that it was a positive experience for the majority of you. So that was good for me to see. So this week, we are going to do another review, kind of a follow-up. And I will actually discuss some additional strategies to add to your Dialogic readings to get children even more involved. So then we'll also talk about encouraging parents to use Dialogic reading, and then cultural considerations for linguistically diverse children. So Molly is going to do our quick poll again to see who is participating today. And those of you who are others, you can certainly type in who you are. It looks like really the vast majority, again, are preschool teachers, which is fabulous because this is such a good strategy to use with young children in that age. So thank you for taking time to check in with me so I know that you are out there. I must say that I've really grown fond of all of you. As I said, thank you so much for your participation. And actually, I would really say that your willingness to share your ideas and your expertise has multiplied the resources being available to others that I would have been able to give just on my own. And I thank you for reading to your children and allowing them to be engaged in the conversation with you around the book. Well, this was some magic of the snow captured this week by a friend and colleague, the snowflake that you see there in the middle and down on the screen on her daughter's hat as they took a walk in the snow. And it made me just think about the magic you are creating by reading to young children, taking the time to observe and document the magic of language and literacy skills growing right before your eyes. That can take place every single day, which is really exciting. So, how many of you used dialogic reading this past week in your classroom? And this can be with the whole group or small group or one-on-one. And I think Molly told me that you can choose more than one response. So if you did a whole group and you also did small group and you also did one-on-one, go ahead and vote for all three. Oh, and this is exciting to see that it went well, that you had lots of good conversation. Could have had a bit more conversation. Okay, well, we're going to talk about that a little bit today, how to get that going. So, really nice percentage of you who are listening in today did a whole group, and that's awesome, and actually did small group and even one-on-one. So, greatly appreciated. And it looks like the majority that things went well and you got conversation going. So that's exciting. So I am going to discuss one example plan today received from a participant who sent it to Molly last Sunday night. And then I'm also going to introduce how to expand on dialogic reading to bring in elements of even more interaction related to the book, to make vocabulary words even more concrete for young children, and a particularly strong strategy to use for linguistically diverse children. So, an example plan was The Little School Bus by Carol Roth and illustrated by Pamela Paparone. And Molly is going to play a little bit of the video just to familiarize all of us with the book. And I want you to realize this is not using dialogic reading strategies, but again, just to have you become familiar with the book so that we can look over the plan that was sent in. Okay, thank you, Molly. You can start. So thank you for watching that little bit of part. So completion prompts that were sent in. So this is the plan, and in black is the participant who sent in the plan, and then I have comments in blue. So, yes, good completion prompts. A quick chick, a fox with, and then what would the children answer? You can go ahead and use the chat room. You know, and then a quick chick, a fox with socks, a pig in a wig. So, good completion prompts that can be continued really throughout the book as new animals continue to get on the bus. You can continue to leave that last word off after they've been introduced. And then I also suggest that on each page you point to the photo of that final word. So point to the sock, point to the wig, point to the coat. But I want to suggest here that this is such a fabulous book to use that repeating phrase as one of the completion prompts. So riding the bus, to, and what would you guys fill in? Cool. And I even suggest for this particular book, even using the entire phrase. So riding the bus to school, riding the bus to school, that the children could actually chant that and even add motion so they could move their arms in a motion like way, pretending that they're driving the bus, or you could have them possibly bounce gently up and down, pretending to be riding the bus. You would, of course, rehearse those movements, and we're going to see an example of a dialogic read-aloud where the teacher does a nice job demonstrating this. So, recall prompts. Can you tell me who the second animal was that got on the bus? And in here, for recall, instead of that exact one right answer, I would suggest rephrasing that question to say, who remembers some of the animals that got on the bus? And then have children take turns naming different animals. And who remembers what the animals do during the school day? We're going to see the rest of this read aloud, and that was really only one page in the book, so you would want to make sure you linger on that page and talk about what the children are doing. Open-ended questions, tell me what is happening in this picture. And that very last picture that we just left off when we watched the video, that would be a great page to use because so much going on there, and it really would allow children to talk about the houses, talk about the roads, talk about the bus, the families coming out with their children. So you might even ask that on a few pages. The next question is the bus on a city road or a country road, and how do you know? And I want to suggest here that you would really need to make sure that the children in your room understand what you are asking there, because this would really be a very high-level question for an English as second language child when that concept of city or country road was really not introduced in the book, and therefore they might not understand the words or the roads and what they would look like in the city or look like in the country. And I hope that makes sense to everyone listening. The next one, why do they call the bear a hairy bear? That's really looking for more of just like a one correct response because he has lots of hair. So I would suggest that's really a WH question as opposed to an open-ended question. All right, we're going to have Molly restart the video where we left off and then just watch here until the end. So as you see, reading that book through just took her 4 minutes. And that's an example of how my student teachers, the first time they read a book to children, and they're like, oh, there are 15 to 25 children sitting in front of me, and they just kind of get through it. So I hope you understand, like, why that wasn't a dialogic reading, but a great book to select for a dialogic reading. So thank you to the participant again for sending this one in. So let's look at the WH question. Where is the bus driver taking the animals? And so that would be a great one to ask the children. They know they're going to school. What is the first through second through fifth animal to get on the bus? Again, here, depending on the understanding of ordinal numbers for the age group of children you have, you might say, who is the first? Because they understand that, who is the first in line. That's something they learn really quickly. But then say, who got on next? And then who got on next? And turn back to the book of the pages so you can prompt and scaffold for them. And I also suggest that then this might be better classified as a good recall prompt. After the bus driver picks up the animals, where do they go? And what do they do? And so are you asking them to respond, you know, that they're riding the bus or that they're going to school, or does it matter? And it really doesn't matter if you're getting that language out. Where is the next stop the bus makes? Again, make sure you have the page number for the prompt so you know when you will ask that, and make sure that works for the children in your classroom to understand what you're asking for there. And what do the animals do during the school day? Again, you know, they learn and play. That was a really short part of that story. But again, yes, it can be a WH prompt when you are on that page. I want to suggest, too, that you could even introduce the vocabulary word crossing guard on that page. You know, point out the crossing guard, ask if they know that word, and if they don't, introduce it and tell them what a crossing guard does. The same thing for the bus driver, pointing to the frog, you know, who is this? And bus driver might be a vocabulary word they have. And then distancing prompts, those great prompts to get children to identify the book to their own lives. How many students have been on the bus before, and who can tell me what it was like to ride on a bus? And I added, you could ask, you know, where did the bus take you? Who rode on the bus with you? If you ride the bus to school, who takes you to the bus stop? And then the others, what is the purpose of riding a bus? And then this last one, how should students or animals behave on a school bus? Might need to point out how all the children are sitting down on the bus when you're reading it, so that they understand that. But thank you so much for your willingness to share your planning guide, and I hope going through that quickly was helpful. If people have questions, you know, go ahead and ask away. But I have another video that we're going to watch that really now is taking your dialogic reading, as I said, up another level, because now you're going to be adding actions. So I want you to notice how the teacher rehearses the actions with the children before she begins reading. Notice the different kinds of prompts she uses with the children. Think how adding these actions can help all the children in your room to understand vocabulary, and how might these actions be particularly helpful for English as second language learners. So, Molly, thank you for getting that video up of Emily. Thank you, Molly, for playing the video. So, how would these actions assist linguistically diverse learners? It's your time to chat. All right, great ideas coming up. Can relate new vocabulary to movement, involves opportunity for discussion. They hear the vocabulary over and over to get to put emotions to words. Absolutely. So it really does make those vocabulary words so much more concrete when they have both the photo and the action. And it takes into account very much the active nature of children's learning. So have any of you done dialogic readings like this, allowing children to have concrete actions to go with the words? Love to kind of see there. We didn't put a poll together, but... And I guess I'd also ask you to say, and did it go well? To encourage those who might not have done it to hopefully add it to their repertoire. Yeah, and that's a great point, Deborah, that when it's appropriate for the story, and I would say this teacher did that, that she chose a really good story. That was an example where children were very much engaged. And Sandra's great point that those are some of the times the ones that the children will retell because they have all those motions. Yeah, the small group was great. So a great example of, you know, finding time in the day to do this with 2, 3, 4 children. And it, because it really does give those children so much more of an opportunity to have conversations. Oh, I like that. No pun intended, I'm sure, but it really does help the vocabulary stick. The students will continue to tell others what they learned. I agree. So thank you again for your participation on that. I looked really hard for some good dialogic readings on YouTube, and I really think she did a nice job, and actually that I believe must be a student teacher who's learning how to do dialogic reading. You noticed how many sticky notes she had, and did one child mention anything about those sticky notes? Not a word, because they were totally engaged in that book. So it's really exciting to see. And Molly has that whole video, so you can watch it to the end up on the website at the end. So any questions before we move on how to get families engaged in doing dialogic reading? Thank you, Molly, for telling them where they can find the videos. Oh, good, doing a parent workshop. Yep, we're going to ask for ideas on how to get families engaged. Oh, you guys are already on it. All right, so sharing this information with families is so important. And just sharing with families that really reading a book with children promotes just this special relationship with children and adults. You know, and as children grow older and they become more and more active, taking the time to slow down each day really does allow families to capture that snuggle time with each other. So making sure that families understand that. And that I would suggest that you encourage families not to look at reading to their child each day as a task, but really as a time that will bring them closer together. Reading a book together becomes a nurturing way to spend time together at the end of what is likely a really long day, not only for children, but also for the parents. And I hope that you've noticed that the photos I chose to include fathers reading to children. And so, you know, mothers and fathers don't always have to read together, but it shouldn't be a routine that is established just by mothers. So fathers reading to their children is just as important. Fathers might actually have a different way of reading to children. They may choose different books and use different voices that children like. I know my children loved my husband's Big Friendly Giant, the BFG by Roald Dahl, his voice, and they still ask for it years later. And research actually has shown that fathers might use a higher level of vocabulary. And there is definitely recent research on fathers from low-income African-American families, and then fathers of rural families that find dads, on average, use more of the WH questions and ask more clarification questions than mothers. So making sure that fathers get this information. And again, children, when families are reading to them, learn the basics of how to read a book, because children are not born with innate knowledge of how to read a book. And so families demonstrating how to turn the pages is an important skill for the children to learn. And children begin to see that words are separate from the illustrations. Those basic speech skills, pretend reading, that is so important when young children jabber in delight. It really is an important pre-literacy skill. Another important thing is that more logical thinking skills. We talked about this in the first webinar. When children really do start to understand cause and effect and they begin to relate what is happening in the story of the book to what is happening in their own lives. And so those distancing questions are really important. Enhanced concentration and discipline. I think it's really important to point out to families that at first children may not sit through an entire book, but eventually they will. And especially if they are engaged in the conversation around the book. So if they have time to talk and tell the story, then you will keep them engaged until the end. And teaching by example, children will want to read. So if children are read to, not just at school, but at home, they understand that reading books really is something that's wonderful and special and magical, and it's teaching them that they will want to pick up books and learn to read on their own. And as I said the last 2 weeks, that dialogic reading shows that it builds this rich vocabulary and it boosts language and communication skills, so making sure that families understand that. And I want to suggest that you can begin reading right from infancy, and I'm sure all of you who are participating right now have probably done that with your own children if you have children. But if some of your families have younger siblings at home, making sure they understand not just they need to be doing this for their older children, but they can start with younger ones. So I promised last week that my great-niece would show up in this week's PowerPoint, and here she is enjoying a book with me when she was 1 year old. And notice she is already learning how to turn the page, so books are very, very special in her life. And at age 2, she began to mimic reading, and actually, this was a book that she received for Christmas from my daughter, and you know, she received toys, but this is what she picked up on her own to read because she loves books. You know, and she's now using her finger to point to the words and say words out loud. She knows how to turn the pages of the book from the beginning of the book to the end of the book. So I wanted to share where she was this summer when she spent a week on vacation with me at 32 months reading a favorite book, Green Eggs and Ham, by Dr. Seuss. So it was my job to get up with Lucia and her brother in the morning and let mom and dad sleep in. And so I was feeding her little brother and noticed that she went and got one of her favorite books and got the camera out. So I'm going to let Molly get that video up. So that was the version of the book in Spanish. So she is bilingual, and so she is learning to speak both English and Spanish. Mom reads books only in Spanish, and Dad reads the same book in English, so she has the vocabulary in both languages. And it is just so fabulous to watch. So, ideas for how to share this information with families, and all of you were giving great responses. First night back at school when parents are meeting teachers, demonstration at an open house, bring a book from home, classroom program, invite parents to visit and experience it, send home simple books with questions and activities. I like the idea of inviting a special parent to school to read. I know I saw an earlier chat that said being a mystery reader, it is definitely one of my favorite things to do in the classroom where I have student teachers. I get on that mystery reader list all the time. Write letters to the families each week on what the class is doing. That'd be great. And then recommending Erin some books related to the topic, some books that they could read at home, demonstrated in the classroom for parents. So, yeah, here are some ideas I have. But, again, because of your participation, your list is so much longer than mine. But newsletter with information, a family night when you demonstrate how to do a dialogic reading, sharing all the importance of reading to your child, you know, as you have a conversation and making sure they get that part of not sitting down and reading a book from cover to cover that takes 3 or 4 minutes, but really getting the children involved. Find out if local library provides information or demonstrations and share that information with families. And I suggest that we really encourage families to use the library, possibly share the public library hours with families, the bus route to the library. And then I think someone did say this, could your school kind of serve as a library and loan books to family? So again, just how important it is. Unbelievably great responses. Molly, maybe you can share the chat with me and we can put that list up on the website again. Find good sample videos. The one we already viewed, like showing Emily reading that book to those three children, could be a great one to share with them. I did find one example of a mom and her son reading, and you can tell that this is a favorite book of his, that he's probably read it a million times, because he has quite the vocabulary around this book. So, Molly, if you'll bring that up really quickly. Okay, Molly, you can stop. So I think that's a great example of realizing that children have favorite books, and just think about the vocabulary he had, which was so fabulous. This is a short article on dialogic reading that you could share with families. I actually took a lot of information for these webinars from this. It was written by Dr. Whitehurst, who developed dialogic reading. So if you're looking for a short, simple information-filled flyer that you could give to families, this might be something that you could use. Giving families good book suggestions. I love this book for families as children transition to school, and the story about kissing the child's hand. And so when that child needs you at school, they can kiss their hand and feel your kiss. Good Night Moon was always a favorite at our house with all three of my children. Look at just that one page and how many things you can talk about with young children. There's cats and a mouse and a rabbit and a bed and the balloon and the cow that jumped over the moon and the three bears. So in that great green room, there was a telephone and a red balloon and a picture of, and it already prompts you for that completion prompt for children to say, you know, the cow jumping over the room, moon. The Runaway Bunny was another one of my children's favorite books. I love all the comments that are going up too about The Kissing Hand. Yeah, at the beginning of pre-K, it's just a wonderful book and how it makes you cry. The Where Spot books, again, with, you know, even the WH questions in the title, and, you know, having children find things. So a great way to introduce families on how to have that interaction around a book, because it draws children in to be involved in the book. So again, I've said this every week. That's why we've been here for three Thursdays in a row, to understand that dialogue reading really does make a difference. Again, Dr. Whitehurst saying, children can jump ahead by several months in just a few weeks of dialogic reading. So that's the power you have to continue to have magic in your room each and every day with dialogic reading as you see children grow and develop in their skills. It's just, I think, one of the greatest privileges being an early childhood educator, to have that opportunity to get to see that magic happen in your room. So any questions that are pending out there, I just really find it hard to believe that we are at the end of our time together. I asked Molly today, I said, if participants have questions or want to send ideas, their planning guides to get feedback on, she's happy to take those and then pass them on to me. Yes, you can have access to all of these PowerPoints, but I just can't thank you enough for all of your participation, and as I said, really, all of you who have experience with this, who have a passion for reading books to children, which it appears so many of you do, your contributions to those who might be new to this strategy have really, I think, played a role in getting more information out, and so thank you for your willingness to share your expertise. Oh, thank you for your kind comments. It really has been a pleasure. And all of you who've been on, that's what I said, the bilingual part, trying to purchase books in both English and in the other languages in your classroom, because it may not just be Spanish. I really want to encourage you to do that. Oh, thank you. So I said, I have truly enjoyed these webinars because of your participation. And so next Thursday, I'm going to be thinking fondly of you, and I will be smiling knowing that there are going to be some very interactive dialogic readings going on across the state of New York. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Palsha. It's been a pleasure, and we've really enjoyed these webinars, and it's great to see so much participation. And I hope some of you will join us on our future webinar strands. I look forward to seeing some of the names pop up again. I'm going to post the link to the evaluation. If you could please take a few minutes to complete that, we appreciate that. And thanks, everyone. Dr. Paulshiff, if you want to just hang on for 1 minute.
All right, I will.